And welcome to the College Football Country Podcast. Josh Parcell here in just a minute. Rossi Three Stacks and I are going to go through week 8 in the college football season. But before we get to that, just a reminder, guys, please subscribe. Please don't forget to download. Please share the podcast with your friends. Really excited for what we have planned coming up in the future here on the podcast. We've had a blast doing it for the last 6 or 7 weeks, bringing the podcast back and looking forward to what's next. So make sure you guys are spreading the word. Like I said, sharing it on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, I don't know, wherever you want to share it, go ahead and share it and tell all of your college football fan friends that this is the best podcast around. And without further ado, let's get to the podcast. Week 8 preview with Rossi Three Stacks.
Tonight, hey, it was BYOG, bring your own guts.
There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game. He ran the missed field goal back. He ran it back 109 yards. They're not going to keep him off the field tonight.
Caught, racing, touchdown, Nittany Lions. We've got a ball game in Necktown.
But, sweetheart, this pick is strictly business.
All right, Ross, week 8 is here, 7 weeks in. Who the heck knows how many to go? Week 8 for most of us, week 1 for the Big Ten. It is finally almost a full Saturday. Apologies to the Pac-12, but the college football season starts on Saturday, Ross.
I think that's at least the third time we've said it. The college football season finally starts this weekend.
It's here.
It's finally here. It's very flowcharty for those of you in the business world where, like, all right, season one starts here, and then another season kind of layers in, and then another season layers in. Eventually, we'll have that 1 week or a couple weeks, I guess, hopefully the rest of the season where everybody's playing. But, yes, this is the start of the next phase of this season's – of this chapter of this season.
Whatever it is, I'm glad it's here. We're going to get some big Ten games. We'll get into that a little bit later. But let's start, Ross, with what we saw last weekend. So where we last left you, before we last left you, Georgia Tech was still in one piece. What the heck was that? That was my worst prediction of the season, and I've had some bad ones. I gave out Georgia Tech plus 27 on the pod last week, and Clemson covered that. They almost doubled the spread by halftime. It was not great.
Yeah, just a bit outside on that one. You did say that Clemson would cover it in the first half.
Right.
But then you thought it would be, like, no points in the second half. But I texted you during the game and asked if there was some kind of bad blood between Clemson and Georgia Tech that I had, like, forgotten about. Because Dabo seemed like he was running up the score intentionally.
He did, and after the game, somebody asked Jeff Collins about, I forget exactly what the question was, but somebody asked him basically his thoughts on Clemson throwing the ball in the second half or whatever it was, because they went for it on a fourth down, too. They were throwing it with their punter. I mean, they were doing some weird stuff, and Collins, basically, his full answer, he went on forever, but he you know, did the coach thing, like, oh, you know, it's part of the game, you play, blah, blah, blah. But then at the very end, he ended it and goes, but that's a good point. Basically, like, pretty much admitting, like, all right, something's going on. I don't know. I feel like Collins is we have made this Buzz Williams comparison before, but it's the same sort of thing, right, where he does things a little differently. I'm sure he probably agitates some people with his style. It's not for everybody. And I have to imagine that Collins is, I mean, fighting over the same turf for those recruits in that Georgia, in that I-85 corridor, right?
Right.
Stretching through there. So maybe something along the way. You never know when something gets said on the along the way that then Dabo will take it out during the game. And Dabo is not a stranger to that, because you remember the laptop gate with NC State. Dabo's not afraid to run it up if something happens, off the field. He'll take it out on the field because he's got the guys to do it.
He'll strategically send a message. That's a good point. That very well could have been a recruiting chess move of, like, let's let's just make sure we are clear, Atlanta area, what the situation is here. If you are a 4 or 5 star player considering Georgia Tech.
Right.
Yeah. All right. I'll buy that as my reason. But regardless, yeah. Clemson, man, whew, we'll talk about Alabama in a minute, but Clemson looked real good.
Oh, they did. And I'm at the point where I, as a college football fan, I love watching Trevor Lawrence. Why the hell is that guy playing college football?
It's wild.
It's too easy.
All right, you said last week that ETN is one of the best, what, do we say 10 or 12 running backs on the planet right now?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Where is Trevor Lawrence on the planet as far as quarterbacks go?
Ironic.
What range?
Yeah. Well, let's see. I mean, well, all right, I'm in Carolina. Teddy Bridgewater is right now probably the 20th best quarterback in the NFL. Maybe a little bit better, but right around 20. Do I think Trevor Lawrence is a better quarterback than Teddy? I think he's about the same. It's so much easier, right? I mean, for a running back to step into the NFL, it's a much easier transition. So I don't think Lawrence is going to step in as a rookie and, you know, all of a sudden be top 10 in the league, right? So it's a little bit of a bit more learning curve. But, yeah, I would say he should step in next year. If it all depends on where he goes. Like, I mean, if he's playing for the Jets and it's a complete mess, like, it sucks. But, he's probably one of the 20 best in the world right now. Maybe better.
That's what I'm getting at. You know, you can have all these college versus NFL team, like the dumb debates, how would Alabama do against the Jets, all those. But
right.
I think factually Clemson has a running back and a quarterback who would start for a professional football team, who could start for a professional football team this weekend. I mean, that you see that in 70 burgers, and I'm very interested to see them against Notre Dame down the line, even Tech, I guess, to an extent, and whomever they play then in the championship. Like, they're going to get challenged a little bit, but I still don't think we'll really get to see what this thing looks like against great competition until the playoffs.
So I'm at the point where I don't think they're losing. Period. I don't think. I mean, before the season, you could have made you could have made a case. Notre Dame, South Bend, maybe, or Virginia Tech. No, they're not losing. Like, this team is way too good, and it's just obvious. I mean, they have the defense, which was kind of young, is not advertised. They're better than advertised. That defense is lights out. That was the only question I had is, you know, replacing some of the guys they had to replace. Could it take a little bit of time before they gel? Ironically, Alabama is the team that's having a little bit more trouble coming together. But like you said, we'll get to them in a minute. So I asked the question, Ross, on Twitter, and the results were almost dead even between all four answers. So I asked, what is the smallest margin of victory that Clemson will have in the ACC, not the playoff, just ACC games, including a conference championship. And I gave you 7 or less. So, you know, touchdown or less, 8-10, 11-14 or more than 14. And 35% of the votes said 11-14. And then the other three were almost a dead heat around like 22%. So you're basically talking about the vote being split between all of those. If you were voting in it, maybe you did vote in it, where would your vote land?
I sure did vote, Josh. I was in that that plurality in the 11-14 range. I think Notre Dame or someone. I could see Tech as well. I mean, we're talking about regular season. I think one of those two teams will hang around and or backdoor cover late, and they'll win a game like 42-28 or something like that. But I do not see anybody on this schedule keeping them to single digits. I mean, it wouldn't shock me at all. And more than half the people in this poll do not think that it will be that way either. You know, 21% said more than 14 points. That's super reasonable. I don't see anybody holding them to under a touchdown or keeping it within a touchdown, I should say. I like the 11-14 range, just good football numbers in there.
Yeah, there's two teams that even have a prayer, and that's Notre Dame and Virginia Tech. Whoever they play in the ACC championship, obviously. But I don't think Notre Dame has a shot. I don't. I've watched enough of Notre Dame to know that they have one speed. They'll run the ball, and if they can win at the line of scrimmage, they'll run the ball well. They did that against South Florida. They did that against Duke. To a lesser extent, they did that against Louisville last week, even if they only scored 12 points. Notre Dame doesn't have the kind of firepower you need to go shot for shot. I mean, you're in a home run derby when you're playing Clemson, and they don't have home run hitters. Ichiro Suzuki wasn't winning a home run derby, and Notre Dame is just kind of they'll hit for contact but not for power. And I just don't see that really being a close game. I think Notre Dame and Clemson knows. I mean, that's a program. Clemson, first of all, the last time we saw those two teams play a couple years ago, 31-0 in a semifinal game. Trevor Lawrence was lights out. Clemson's going to get up for those games. If you're going to catch Clemson, we've seen in the regular season, it's Pitt or Syracuse, a team that you can sleepwalk through, and that all of a sudden you wake up in the third quarter and it's a close game, or maybe Clemson's down. Virginia Tech is interesting because Virginia Tech does have firepower. Virginia Tech's offense is absolutely one of the 10 best in America right now. Offensive line, I would put up with any offensive line in the country. Maybe Alabama. I mean, there's not many other offensive lines I'd take over Virginia Tech's. Obviously, that's helped with their running game. Hendon Hooker is a more dynamic playmaker than Ian Book. Some questions about Tech's passing game. Virginia Tech, they haven't had to pass, really, so we don't really know yet how good that passing game is. But I think they have a better chance than Notre Dame to keep it within two scores.
Would be huge for Tech. I don't think we're trending this direction, but if that could be even remotely a normal Lane Stadium crowd, especially if that's a situation where Tech could win their way into a rematch with Clemson.
Right.
That could get interesting. A big time night game at the end of the year with something on the line would be an awesome atmosphere, but I don't think we're trending that way, unfortunately. So it's still going to be a very partial crowd. So we'll see, man. But so we talked about Clemson, obviously. What did you think about Alabama this weekend? Impressive performance against Georgia. Mac Jones was lights out. What were your thoughts on the Tide?
It's exactly what I thought. You tried to scare me out of it. Because last week when I said Alabama by double digits, and you made some sound as if I was being Skip Bayless. And
I was
– Who was right?
Look, we're
– Who was right?
You were right. I was talking as a fan. I was trying to help you out as a family man. You've got a family to look out for, Josh, or you will soon. I was just looking out for you in that regard, but you were absolutely right about the game. It played out basically exactly how you projected it would. I'll admit that. Yeah. I'm not too big. I'm big enough of a man to admit that.
Well, thankfully, my Georgia alum fiance does not listen to the podcast, so I think we're safe with the bold takes. But I really did. I wasn't trying to be bold. I truly felt like Alabama, more complete football team in all three phases. The big surprise here is Alabama's kicker has made, I think, three field goals of over 50 yards this year. So even the kicker situation is figured out. I didn't buy into the belief that Alabama's defense was somehow a liability, even after Ole Miss exposed them. A weird kind of game. Lane Kiffin knows a lot about what Saban does. And not that matters that much, but I like Lane Kiffin as a play caller. Actually, I like Ole Miss's offense almost as much as I like Georgia's, especially passing the ball. And kind of a look-ahead spot probably for Alabama a little bit too. So I buy into Alabama's defense, too much talent on that side. And then offensively, what are you going to do? I mean, there is no way you can stop even a defense as good as Georgia's, who has such a great defensive line, great guys in the secondary. Love Richard LeCount, who had – I think it was LeCount who had that pick right at the beginning of the game that probably shouldn't have been a pick, but they counted it as one. There were moments in that game where it felt like Georgia could hang around. Obviously, had the lead in the first half, but ultimately Alabama flexed its muscle, pulled away. Stetson Bennett, just not on that level.
God,
that's
God,
a level
God
too
God
high for him. I know.
Bless his heart.
The mailman.
Yeah.
Have you seen that story? Heart. By the way, have you seen the mail? You know where the mailman nickname came from, right? Oh, you don't? Oh, man. So this kid, you're going to love this. So he's called the mailman. I didn't know this until, I guess, maybe the Tennessee game. They ran a graphic, and they showed a picture of Stetson Bennett from, like, an Elite 11 camp or something, right? And he apparently wore a U.S. Postal Service hat, like mailmen wear, to all of his camps so that coaches would notice him. Amazing, genius branding strategy. Immediately fell in love with the guy.
Oh my God, that is amazing.
Yeah.
This guy is awesome.
I know.
No, I somehow missed that story. That is very cool.
Yeah.
Dude, it pays to have a thing. Good for him for realizing that at an early age.
Right, right. That's
that's amazing.
I feel like that's the only thing that held me back. Like now looking back on it, it's like I all these kids try so hard. It's genius, really. How many kids do you know go on Nike ID or whatever, try to customize their cleats with their nickname and get flames coming off of their, you know, their cleats or their jersey or whatever, or their Under Armour stuff. This guy's like, you know what? I'm going to wear a mailman hat to every camp so that you know who I am. And it literally, like, it's not like just like a cool hat with like the postal logo on it. Like legitimately the hat the mailman wear. It's like the like kind of short brimmed hat is hilarious.
Did you ever watch White Collar, the TV show?
I caught a few episodes back in the day.
So the main character, Neil Caffrey, famously always wears a hat, top hat. And in one episode, someone asks him why. And his line, such a good line. He says, "It's just my humble assault on the commonplace." I love that line. I think about that a lot. That was just Stetson Bennett's humble assault on the commonplace.
That must be. Well, the poor guy Alabama is just that's a bridge too far for him. And, you know, it truly makes you wonder about, like, I'm not going to indict Georgia for that game. I'm not. As far as the Alabama-Clemson thing, I guess today I think Clemson's the better team, but that's going to go down to the wire. It doesn't matter. The curious part about it is it's going to be important for one of those teams to finish number one because it means you're going to avoid Ohio State in a playoff. I mean, that's a real battle. You do not want to be number two, and I actually think Clemson has a better chance to stay number one. Obviously, they're ahead of them now, but they have a tougher schedule in front of them, which is going to affect the Heisman Trophy race as well. I think Trevor Lawrence probably has a leg up on Mac Jones at this point. Just the SEC is so much worse. Games like LSU, games like Auburn that we thought were going to be major tests for Mac Jones in Alabama don't look like that at all now. And you juxtapose that with Trevor Lawrence playing Notre Dame, which we all say we think they're going to win handily, but at least that's a team that's probably going to be ranked in the top 20, maybe higher.
Right.
You know, they're going to play Virginia Tech, who should be ranked. They'll have an ACC championship. I actually think Clemson's schedule might be harder at this point than Alabama's, which is wild to think about.
That is wild to think about. Man, that's a fantastic point about avoiding Ohio State and how that has implications on every game each of them plays from here out. That's honestly probably part of the reason that Dabo wanted to hang 70. I think he's already looking ahead to that and trying to build the case against Alabama for that number one slot, but that has week to week gambling implications. It has Heisman implications. Like you said, that is a fascinating point. I had not even thought about that. That race, them jockeying for number one. It's not just about making the playoffs like it is some years. I think the two of them see each other. They're looking across the room. They know they're the two alphas in the room.
Right.
And they're trying to one up each other. And they're peacocking.
You do not want to be number two, which was the exact same thing last year. It was the same thing last year where you had the three teams and it was LSU, not Alabama, but you didn't want to be two. Clemson ended up being two. And you saw, I mean, I don't.
Had a dogfight. They escaped.
Right. I'm not saying that that's the reason that LSU handled Clemson the way they did, but it sure didn't help that Clemson had to go in there and they were on the ropes. I mean, down, 14 in the first half, had to battle their way back just to win that game. So you want to avoid that if possible. If you're playing the number four team, you're probably playing, this year it could be a one loss SEC team. It could be maybe the Big 12 champ, but I mean, I don't know what you're going to expect out of the Big 12. Could be the Pac 12 champ, like a 6-0, like Oregon. Like it's a far drop off between those top three and everybody else. So that's something to keep an eye on moving forward. Let's move on. Let's go to our Draft King and our Craft King of the week. Let's start with the Draft King, Ross. Who is your Draft King from Week 7?
Yeah, my Draft King this past weekend was Hendon Hooker, quarterback of our Virginia Tech Hokies, 111 passing yards and one passing touchdown. But wait, Ross, that's not very good. Oh, yeah, he also had 164 yards and three touchdowns running.
Yeah.
What a day from Hendog. Incredible game. That offense looks electric with him under center, as it has for the last 2 years.
Right.
They were a different team last year with him. They are clearly a different team this year with him. I think you hit it on the head. They're top 10 offense in the country with him, and he's not going to have three rushing touchdowns and 164 yards on the ground every week. But man, when he does, they are humming.
Let me ask you a question. If Virginia Tech and North Carolina were playing this weekend, and Hendon Hooker starts from the beginning of the game, and Divine Diablo is in the lineup, who wins that game?
Well, it's hard to argue against Tech, given how that game went with Hooker on the field.
Right.
I think, if anything, I think it's just instead of the 101 points, I think you get 120, 130 points in that game.
Yeah.
I think each team was just going to score basically every time they had the ball. I mean, we saw that in that game, the only time North Carolina didn't score was when they dropped passes, which, boy, was that foreshadowing.
Yeah, a little bit.
This past weekend. So that's rearing its head a little bit.
Yeah.
I think with what we've seen from Hooker since, starting, you know, in the second quarter of that game or third quarter, whenever he really came in.
Third quarter, yeah.
When they you maybe give them a series early, but they're a totally different team, and I think I probably would make them a 3 to 7 point favorite against North Carolina.
It's a toss
certainly
up.
Certainly on a neutral field.
Yeah. It's a toss up. I do think that game was not indicative of where those two teams are right now, and that's not to make excuses because Carolina had guys out too. I mean, not to rehash that whole game, but it's not fair to just look at Virginia Tech and say, well, Tech was missing guys in the secondary because so was Carolina. So credit to Carolina for winning the way they did. Hooker obviously made them – they went from tough to stop to impossible to stop in that game, and they just kept it going against Boston College. David Hale tweeted out a really interesting stat earlier this week. Might have been today on Thursday as we record this, that the Tech's defense over the last – 2 years, I think, gives up 5 yards a carry when Divine Diablo is on the field and close to 8 yards a carry when he's not. I mean, it's crazy how different their run defense is with Divine Diablo. And it's not just how good Diablo is because, I mean, I don't think he's anything spectacular, but he's a solid player. He's been in the program for 3 or 4 years. And they went to a walk-on in Tyler Matheny, who, God bless the guy, but just nowhere close to ready for what he was up against you know, Carolina that game.
Yeah, and Carolina exploited that.
Absolutely.
If you really go back and watch the game, I mean, they specifically designed run plays to get Matheny one-on-one having to come down and tackle Javonte Williams or Michael Carter, and he just couldn't.
Yeah.
Like he lost that matchup at birth. Regardless, Hendon Hooker was my draft king of the week. Let me give you my craft king, Josh. No. You do your draft king first, and then we'll go on to craft king.
Okay. My draft king, Dylan Gabriel from UCF. The guy, he just needs something. He needs to be recognized because my man put up 600 yards and 5 touchdowns, and they lost.
Amazing.
I was watching the beginning of this game. UCF was up big. I'm going to try to pull up the box score we're talking about. But UCF was up handily. And I'm thinking to myself, man, Memphis, what a like train wreck they've been. They were supposed to be this, you know, borderline dark horse playoff contender if they could come out on top in a really good American Conference. They lose the running back before the season who opts out. They had the party bus after the week one game where all the guys got coronavirus. UCF was up 27-7, I think, at one point, 27-14 at halftime. And then here comes Memphis storming back to win. Did you see that apparently, I don't really know what happened with this, but after the game, one of the UCF players tried to fight the kicker? Did you see this?
Tried to fight Memphis's kicker?
No. His own kicker. Yeah, so, I should have looked this up before, but I guess – I'm pulling it up now. Yeah, so UCF missed a field goal. This is what happened. UCF had a field goal with 20 seconds left. It's a 40-yarder, and Daniel Obarski misses it. And he's on the sideline, inconsolable. And he's got, like, of course, his holder and, like, his long snapper over there trying to cheer him up. And all you see, and it was just complete coincidence that the camera catches this, right? Like they hold on the shot of the kicker, you know, in despair. And all of a sudden in walks this kid who, I don't know, he's a receiver or somebody. And he walks in and you can see him talking to the kicker. And all of a sudden, all three guys, the kicker, the snapper, the holder, turn around and like have to be restrained from going after this receiver.
Jeez.
So, oh yeah. So apparently the receiver went over and was talking mess to his kicker that lost him the game. But just an outrageous scene, a tough scene for UCF, man, blowing that one. That's a brutal loss. But
Dylan Gabriel was.
Congratulations
outrageous.
To Dylan Gabriel.
Great. Yeah, good job, Dylan Gabriel.
we're proud of you.
We are proud of you. He's fun to watch, man. I mean, I watched a decent chunk of that game. It was like watching a video game. So it was certainly cool. But all right. Let's get to more important matters, Josh. My craft king of the week, and if you don't recall, this is our good mojo drink for the upcoming weekend. I'm going with the Sweetwater Going Coastal IPA. Because, Josh, our Coastal Carolina Chanticleers are 4-0.
Yeah, they are.
They're ranked and 5.5-point favorites this weekend against a decent Georgia Southern team. Huge game for the Chants. I'm going to be pounding Going Coastal because, baby, let's go Coastal. I think there was no other option for this weekend.
Well, I mean, we are the official podcast of Coastal Carolina. We've already said if they continue to run the table, we're going to do a show. We're going to go down to Myrtle Beach. We're going to get on the Broadway. We might hit up the Crazy Horse. Might spray paint a couple T-shirts. Oh, we're going to do the full experience. We're going to go full Conway if this thing keeps up. And we're going to start pounding our chest, just like UCF 3 years ago started printing the national championship shirts. We are here for you, Coastal Carolina. We are not going anywhere. And this weekend, I mean, lock it in. 5.5-point favorites. You can make it 25.5. I'm taking our Chanticleers. Let's go. We're going Coastal. Sweetwater Going Coastal IPA. Go Chanticleers. I wasn't sure if you were going to go with like the old Coastal Division because – it has been a very coastal year in the ACC, it feels like, even though the divisions are gone.
No, there still is a coastal division. There's a 14-team coastal division.
Yeah,
there
really
still
is.
A coastal division.
God, they really should. It should just be one division is Clemson, and then the other 14 teams are the ACC coastal, because that's what it feels like right now. All right. I'm going with the Goldschlager with gold flex, right? A little gold flex in the in the liquor, for my man PJ Flex. So I am all on board Minnesota this weekend. I'm rowing the boat. They are 3-point dogs against Michigan at home. They got Tanner Morgan. They got the better quarterback in the game. They got the best playmaker in the game, Rashad Bateman. You saw Minnesota get off to a hot start last year. I think they're the better coach team. Give me Minnesota in this game outright as a 3-point home dog. I'm taking them, and I'm not looking back. I actually think Michigan, Ross, might be one of the bigger disappointments in college football this year. I had a weird feeling about Auburn before the season. I felt like Auburn was going to be one of those teams primed for a letdown. I'm getting similar vibes from Michigan. I'm feeling myself a little bit with the Auburn take and Oklahoma, by the way. I'm 2-for-2 on top 10 teams that I thought were going to be a disappointment. Now, Michigan's not top 10. I think they're 18th. But Michigan feels like a team that, you know, not a solid answer at quarterback. I could see this year being a year where they struggle a little bit. There's some decent teams in the Big Ten. Minnesota's better. I actually don't have Michigan's schedule in front of me, but I think certainly the gap between them and Ohio State is enormous right now. So that's not even a contest this season. I'm going to take Michigan and maybe sneak around like a 5-3 record. Yeah, I don't think they challenge to be much better than that. So give me PJ Fleck and the boys this weekend. Row the boat.
I love it. Hey, hard to argue against you with your overrated teams at this point. So yeah, I'm on board with that.
I'm an expert in overrated. All right. So now we got our favorite segment. Rossi's three stacks, your three favorite stacks. If you're filling out a daily fantasy lineup this weekend, a little DraftKings lineup, FanDuel, whatever your choice is, we don't judge. Who are your favorite, your stacks this weekend?
Yep. So first and foremost, we're going with Mac Jones and literally any one of his receivers against Tennessee. I think we didn't really talk as much about the Heisman campaign, but I think the Mac 4 Heisman campaign is going to pick up a little steam. And that my feeling about Alabama running up the score a little bit is now confirmed based on our discussion about the number one seed.
Yep.
I think they're going to air it out. I think they're going to run it up. So give me Devontae Smith. Give me Jaylen Waddle. Maybe even mess around and do a lineup with both of them in the same lineup. The old double stack, as we call it in the biz. You have to have Mac Jones and one or both of those guys in a lineup. You know, diversify a little bit with some of these other guys. But I think that's a no-brainer. Just start your lineups off with that, and you're not going to be disappointed.
Boy, yeah, they're just unstoppable. I mean, how about John Mechie? Can we get a little love for John Mechie? The most unassuming name ever. Like, John Mechie does not sound like a wide receiver. I mean, Devontae Smith, that dude's a wide receiver. Even Jaylen Waddle.
Jaylen Waddle.
That's a great name. That is a great A-plus wide receiver, kind of a slithery wide receiver name. John Mechie sounds like a left guard, but he's out here balling out as the wide receiver 3 for Alabama. Yeah, they're going to run it up. No, we're not going to spend any time on Tennessee because they don't deserve it, but we got to get to them at some point. I watch you. There are plenty of games where you've been right. You've been kicking my butt this year on the gambling picks, but we did disagree last week on Kentucky-Tennessee.
Yeah, no, you nailed it.
And I felt like Tennessee was headed towards a dark place, not as dark as it was on Saturday, man. They benched Garantano, then they benched Shrout, the other kid, went back to Garantano. Jeremy Pruitt 2 weeks ago said, Jarrett's our starting quarterback, that's final. And then after last week, he's like, yeah, he's got to earn the job. Like, they don't know what the hell's going on down there, man. And I think there's – we won't get into it now because we got a lot of other stuff to talk about. But I think there's some real questions Tennessee needs to be asking themselves right about now.
I agree. I told you they were the
You're right.
chance they were going under 500.
And then you bet them against Kentucky.
And then I still did that. Although, hold on, we'll talk about it in a little bit. All right. Number two, Shane Buechele and Rashee Rice for SMU against Cincinnati on the Saturday night special. If you're doubling down on the Saturday night slate,
big game.
Sneakily, the best game of the weekend here. Two undefeated teams. I guess you could argue Minnesota, Michigan, but sneakily, this one should be a lot of fun.
Sure.
Rashee Rice, first of all, great name. Rashid without the D. He's only their second most expensive receiver on DraftKings, but a lot of that is because he hasn't scored. He's only scored once. He's been on, like, gotten the short end of the stick on some touchdown luck, a lot of receptions, a lot of yards. That's a good time to buy low on someone if they're getting a lot of targets, a lot of touches, not scoring. I think he scores against me, close game. I think they're going to have to score a decent bit just because they're going to be, you know, it's not like a situation where they're going to be handing it off to kill clock at the end of the game. I like it a lot. I think it has shootout potential. Really like Shane Buechele and Rashee Rice on Saturday night.
Shane Buechele is oddly high on Heisman odds right now. You go look at
Having a great year.
He is, but there's no chance he wins the Heisman Trophy. I just – not in a year where they don't play a non-conference game. Like, if they were playing Oklahoma – right? Or, you know, because think about a few years ago, right? I mean, when Houston had that game against Oklahoma, ironically, they win. You know, that could have been a chance for a Greg Ward, right, to make a name for himself in the Heisman. Derek King last year against Oklahoma, had they won. Like, that, you need a game like that. Shane Buechele is phenomenal. I've been a big fan of Buechele since he was in high school and honestly was stunned when he lost the job at Texas. I get it. Sam Ellinger's been great for the most part. But Buechele's a talented player. I just worry – is he going to have a moment where people say, oh, man, like, yeah, let's definitely give him the Heisman over Trevor Lawrence. The bar to try to beat Trevor in this race, or Mac Jones for that matter, is ridiculously high. I'm not sure if Buechele has enough. But that doesn't take away from the fact that he's going to ball out this weekend, I think, against Cincinnati. I'm thrilled for that game. SMU was that fourth team in the American that everybody knew Cincinnati, UCF, and Memphis were going to be the three best teams in that league. UCF already has a couple losses. Memphis has a loss. Here you go, SMU, undefeated, taking on Cincinnati. Heck of a game in that one. Great offense versus a great defense. I'm excited to watch it. Who's your last one?
Yep. All right. You're going to hate this one. We're going Bo Nix.
Oh, God.
And Seth Williams, or pick another receiver if you want, against Ole Miss.
What is Bo Nix like, negative dollars?
This is a perfect buy-low opportunity. for Bo Nix against Ole Miss.
Yeah.
If he can't get on the track against Lane Train or his defense, dude, he's never going to get it on track. So, dude, the internet hate for Bo Nix this past weekend reached like Mitch Trubisky level. I mean, everything was just like, ooh, this guy sucks. Everything he did, and he played very poorly. But I'm always inclined to fade the internet bullies in a game like that.
Yeah.
Actually, weirdly enough, I don't hate Mitch Trubisky as a Bo Nix comparison, for what it's worth. We can talk about that a whole nother time. But point being here, he's not as bad as people were making him seem to be this past weekend. Is Auburn as good as we thought? No, of course not. But this is still a talented guy with a couple of really good receivers going against one of the worst defenses in the country and an offense that's going to score a little bit on the other side. So Bo Nix, perfect buy low opportunity. You can get him at a big time discount over guys like Mac Jones or Spencer Rattler. Love Bo Nix. I'm going to probably combo with Seth Williams. I think he's coming back strong. But I've talked to him. I had some other guys, Eli Stove last weekend. Lord knows I'm a fan of Schwartz as well. So
yeah,
they've got some guys. I think they put up a lot of points this weekend.
Ole Miss, they are giving up 315 yards a game passing, 73% completions against them. Good Lord. And 9 touchdowns in the 4 games. Yeah, I mean, this is the defense to get right against, because last week was a disaster. I mean, he was picked 3 times in that game. J.C. Horn, Joe Horn's son, making plays in the secondary for the Gamecocks. Had no idea that Joe Horn's kid was a DB or was in college, but sure enough, there he is.
Horn's, he's legit. South Carolina has a couple of good cornerbacks.
I'll tell you what, though.
J.C. Horn's good.
Defensively, good secondary. Shai Smith made some unreal plays in that game last week at receiver for South Carolina. He is a guy that I don't work with him, but he works in Charlotte. He made the great point. I can't take credit for it. Why does South Carolina always have these weird named – what they got one guy that's this outstanding wide receiver, Pharaoh, Debo. Shai, even Alshon. They've always got these just – kind of funky first name wide receivers that are just straight ballers, and Shai Smith is a dude.
He is, man. He's awesome. A lot of fun to watch. That is a great point. I was thinking about that same thing with Pharaoh Cooper and Debo Samuel. He does seem to be next in that line of just the guy that is a disproportionate amount of their offense. But yeah, for these purposes though, Bo Nix, pick your receiver against Ole Miss. It's a good buy low opportunity in a game where they're going to score a lot of points.
Good opportunity to go back and drink some Natty Bo Nix at the same time.
Great point. I'm sure you still have some left over.
Let's get to our trivia question of the week, Ross. I almost got the one. Did we do one last week? I think it's been 2 weeks. I think we skipped it last week, now that I think about it.
No, we did it last week.
Did we?
Last week is, I believe, when we debuted with Mike Leach.
Boy, that was only a week ago?
It's hard to say, but wow. I think so.
All right.
Here's a question. All right. BYU is 5-0 right now.
Yes.
Who was their starting quarterback the last time they started 5-0?
Wow. All right. It'd probably be too obvious to go with Steve Young or Jim McMahon. Hang on. Man, that's a tough one. They had who was the guy they had about 10 years ago? They had a kid who was like a number one recruit. Now I can't remember his name. He went to Beck. John Beck. That's my guess.
It's a solid guess. The answer is Max Hall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 2008. So Max Hall, they started 5-0. Do you remember much of his story?
So he was 15. He was a skinny guy.
Started at Arizona State.
Yeah.
Started at Arizona State, did his mission, and then went back to BYU. Ended up being, at the time at least, BYU's all-time winningest quarterback.
That is Ty Detmer
by the time he was gone.
That is a hard pivot transferring from Arizona State to BYU, by the way. Hard pivot.
All right. it, big time. He then got drafted.
Right.
Or at least played in the NFL for a little bit by the Cardinals. Played in the CFL some.
Yep.
Fell out of the league and got arrested on a shoplifting and cocaine charge.
Oh, classic combo.
Credit to credit to Max Hall. He seems to have like very much put his life back together, and I think is going out of his way to like be really active in educating youth. So
good.
I don't want to make light of any of that. Good sure. job to Max Hall. However, I want to point
okay.
your guy, Darren Gant, after this happened in 2014, wrote an article about the incident, and this was the lead, Josh.
Oh boy.
For a moment there, it looked like Max Hall was going to be the next Kurt Warner, but he ended up more like Montana. Tony Montana. According to the Arizona Republic, Hall was arrested Friday on suspicion of possession of stolen items and cocaine.
Oh my God.
What a lead by boy. Darren Gant.
He
insensitive,
is.
Insensitive, yes, but boy, he went for it.
Oh, that is Darren Gant for you. If anybody doesn't know who Darren Gant is, that guy has balls of steel when it comes to one-liners, kickers at the end of his article. Like, that guy is, man, he's great. And he comes in, he used to come in and do a bunch of stuff with us on our radio show, and he was fire, man. He is about as lip cuck as they come, and he'll be the first one to tell you. And it is a lot of fun to mix it up with him because we don't always see eye to eye on everything, but you guaranteed to get some funny one-liners from him. That's outstanding. Just like Montana.
Such a good Tony Montana. Such a good line. Again, shout out to Max Hall for what seems like he has very much turned his life around.
All right, good for him.
Which makes the joke even funnier now that it seems to have a happier ending.
Yeah,
so,
good for Max Hall.
Okay. All right, Max Hall is the answer. All right, Josh, let's get to the main event here. Do you want to buy the boat?
Let's do it.
We got a little closer last weekend.
We did. After it felt like every week I was just 500. We finally have broken through back-to-back winning weeks, 4-2 last week. Shout out to Alabama and the over for coming through for me last Saturday night. Shout out to Pitt for, okay, I wondered how we were going to handle this because I was fully prepared. After we taped the pod last week, we find out Saturday morning, Kenny Pickett, Pitt's quarterback, not starting. They end up going with Dwelly, I think's the guy's name. I forget his name now.
Something like that.
Ironically, an Arizona State transfer who started at Pitt. And I was fully prepared if Pitt didn't cover to say the game didn't count, that we picked it before we found out that Pitt was going to its backup quarterback. But they did cover, so we're counting it, and it absolutely is one in the win column. So we got Pitt and a handful of others. But, yeah, 4-2 last week, 14-11-1. You hit on all but one of your teaser picks, if I remember correctly, Ross.
That's correct. We missed on the aforementioned Tennessee-Kentucky game.
Yep.
But hit everything else. Although, this is the gambling gods shining down on me. BetOnline.ag, just a website that I frequent at times. If you also use them, you know this, would not let you bet this weekend due to a massive data breach. So I actually didn't get any of my actual bets in. So I had nothing on the line. So though my teaser that I gave out here would have lost and I would have bet it, there was no action there because I literally could not access their platform. So
no
thank you, gambling
gods. All right.
That's
so
it.
I'll go with my picks really quickly. I'll run them down. I only got three this week. There's not a lot of lines that jumped out to me that I loved, but one of them that immediately came to me was Pitt plus 10 against Notre Dame. Notre Dame's offense, it's no secret, they're not the most explosive bunch. Outside of that game against South Florida, hasn't really been all that impressive. They run the ball well. Kyren Williams is great, but Pitt can slow the run down now. Miami really struggled in that game offensively in the first half. They hit a couple of big plays in the second half on some, it felt like breakdowns in the secondary, communication breakdown, blown coverage, whatever it might be. Good play calling from Rhett Lashley. They got a couple guys open, but for the most part, impressed with Pitt's defense. We all know they're 2 points away from being 5-1, but instead they're 3-3. 10 points is a lot, and I'm gonna take the points here. I'm gonna take Pitt plus 10 against Notre Dame. Would not surprise me if Pitt pulls off the upset in this game. Just the way Notre Dame is playing, it just doesn't feel like this team is good enough to put a team like Pitt away. So I'm going to back Pitt here. And even if it's not Kenny Pickett on Saturday, I was impressed with their offense even without him. So I'm taking Pitt plus 10. What do you think about that game? I don't know if you have a pick on it, but what do you think?
I don't, but I agree with you. I love them plus 10 and also would not be surprised with the upset. I will say this also, Josh, I think next week we'll see how the games this weekend shake out. Let's make a point to start looking ahead at some ACC second place scenarios.
Yeah.
I did it a little bit this week. Virginia Tech fans should be rooting hard for Pitt right now because there's a very plausible path forward for Virginia Tech to sneak into the two spot if Notre Dame catches a loss. So just put a pin in that. So if you're rooting, if you're a Virginia Tech fan or another fan of a non-Notre Dame team, a game like this, a Pitt who's out of the race themselves, you should be rooting hard against Notre Dame. But yeah, I actually do like Pitt plus 10. Probably should have teased them to 17, though I didn't have that one in there.
Speaking of Virginia Tech, -9.5 at Wake. Now, Wake got a big win last week. Pulled away late in that game against Virginia. That game was tight for a while. That was an ugly football game. I felt worse for watching it. But Kenneth Walker finally ran all over Virginia in the second half of that game.
He's a good player.
He's a good player. Nice player. Boogie Basham, the one that got away. I actually forgot. So Boogie Basham, defensive end for Wake, he honestly might be an All-American. He's great.
Yep.
Grew up 30 minutes from Blacksburg. And
right.
Was a three-star recruit, was a class of 2016, which was the transition year from Beamer to Fuente. Didn't get a Virginia Tech offer, as I understand it, and making him pay because he's been lights out for Wake. But ultimately, this game feels like a game where Wake just doesn't have the horses to slow down Virginia Tech. If you remember, it was the Bailey Hockman NC State Wolfpack that scored 40-plus on Wake earlier in the year. Virginia just doesn't have anything on offense. Virginia has one of the worst offenses in the league. So, you know, Wake holding them to 20-some points last week, not enough to convince me that the defense has figured things out. I think Virginia Tech hangs another 40-plus point game yet again this week, which would be, what, the third straight time that's happened? And fourth and five games. So I think Virginia Tech blows out Wake Forest. I think this, and Virginia Tech's getting healthier. I mean, they're getting better, getting guys back on defense. They're getting more practice time together. Feels to me like the Hokies are going to keep getting better, especially over the next few weeks. They got a tough one against Louisville, a tricky one. I shouldn't say a tough one, but a tricky one against Louisville next week. I'm going to take Virginia Tech to cover 9.5 on the road against Wake. Let me finish with mine, and let me get you, because I know you're going to talk about the Tech game. Let me finish mine real quick, because I already said it. Minnesota plus 3 versus Michigan. Goldschlager, Gold Flex, that's our craft king of the week. I'm taking Minnesota. Tanner Morgan, Rashad Bateman, I think they're the better football team. I think the wrong team's favored there, especially being at Minnesota. So give me Minnesota plus 3. Those are my three picks, but you've got a three-team teaser. What do you have?
Let's do it. All right. We'll stick with Tech game then real quick. You know, 9.5 points, like you just talked about, no brainer to tease them down to 2.5 because I love that line at 10. And as you know, anything in that 7 to 10 range is basically an auto teaser.
Yeah.
So Tech down to -2.5 is it's free money. I mean, add stuff around that. Tech's not losing this game. They're going to win it by a touchdown plus easily. So that is, I think, an absolute no brainer. Miami, they are -12.5 against UVA. Like you talk about, UVA is just not very good. I don't actually know if Brendan Armstrong's coming back. I don't really care. Teasing them down to 5.5 again seems like kind of a no-brainer here. Miami, yeah, they didn't look fantastic last weekend like we talked about, but they're still a good team, much better than UVA. So getting them across the 6-point line down to 5.5, no brainer there. They're going to win that game by a touchdown plus easily. And then lastly, Josh, this line sort of stinks to me. Can you explain to me what I'm missing here? Penn State -6 against Indiana. I like teasing them the +1, but it feels like they should be favored by more. What am I missing? Is Indiana better than I thought, or did I forget some stuff about Penn State?
Well, so Micah Parsons is out, right? He's opted out, so that's Penn State's best player. He's not playing this year. Penn State also had their top running back opt out as well.
Saquon Barkley.
Barkley's done. Actually, I'm sorry. I should get this right. It was a medical condition discovered during the offseason. Journey Brown, who was supposed to be arguably their top running back. So a couple of key pieces down. I mean, Journey Brown, he was a 900-yard rusher last year, their leading rusher. They had a couple guys transfer out too at running back, so they're turning over that spot. KJ Hamler is gone. Pat Freiermuth is their top target, tight end, probably going to be a first round pick next year, so they do have him back. It does stink a little bit, but it feels like they're begging you to take Penn State in this game. I mean, the line is so short. On the road, 3:30 kick, a lot of COVID issues. We're not really sure, you know, how good they're going to be. I'm going to stay away from it, but the line does stink.
It stinks. yeah, it's just dangling there, and I'm an idiot, and so I'm gonna bet it. It's another situation where you get them plus one with the tees. You're just betting on Penn State to win the game. Certainly an upset could happen, but it would still be that, an upset. So go ahead and toss them in. Just when you were talking, you sold me on Minnesota over Michigan. That line feels like it should be flipped. Seems like Minnesota should be the 3-point favorite, not the 3-point dog. So go ahead and tack a touchdown onto that if you really want to double down on these. Love getting them to 10. But I think that's going to be it for the weekend.
Yeah, and one more thing on Indiana. First of all, they averaged 32 points a game last year. Offense was legit. Switched quarterbacks, went with the guy that is probably every announcer's worst nightmare, Michael Penix Jr. Is their quarterback now. Penix with an X. Stevie Scott's back at running back. They have a 1,000-yard receiver in WAP. WAP full of, oh no, he's gone. Oh man, I thought he was back. Oh no, he is. No, he's back. He's back. WAP fill your. I don't even know. I need to brush up on my Indiana guys, but they got some names out there. They got Penix to WAP.
topical year for them.
Yeah, quite the combo up there in Bloomington. So Penn State's a more talented team, but Indiana's kind of experienced there. They can score some points now, but in a tease, it feels like Penn State's ought to win. Look ahead spot maybe with Ohio State the following week. Obviously, a lot riding on that for Penn State, but you're not careful. You got to get through Indiana first. So I like them in a tease as well. Wouldn't touch the line, but I like them in the tease. So that's it. You got three picks for your teaser. I got three picks to buy the boat, and I'm gonna try to stay hot. You were 5-1 last week. I like that you're scaling it back down to three. You know, you learned your lesson on these 6-team teasers.
We're editing.
Yeah,
we're editing. That's right.
Yeah, self-control, Ross. It's important.
Gotta have it.
All right, well, that's going to do it for us. Appreciate you guys listening, as always. Make sure to download the pod, subscribe, tell your friends about the pod if you like it, and keep spreading the word. We'll be back next week to get through week 9/week 2/, I don't know, probably week 1 for somebody else. It'll be a new season next year, Ross.
Season finally starts next week, Josh.
That's right. It's almost here. All right, man, we'll talk to you next week.
Go Shade and Clear.